Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello and welcome to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. We're back after United's 2-2 draw with Tottenham, and it is the final Premier League game of the month. Rob was there. Little bit disappointing, little bit flat. We'll talk about that a little bit on today's show. Although we will also talk about one player who could potentially save Man United's season. I'm sure if you clicked on this, he's probably in the title. So, we'll get into that in a bit. We're talking about Lisandro Martinez, who returned to a hero's welcome after a long-term injury. But Rob, how are you doing? It's cold.
Very cold, and it's snowing outside. So my least favourite weather, Scott, I don't like this.
Why is it your least favourite weather?
I don't like falling over and slipping over in the snow. It's a bad look, you know, and I do that quite regularly. I don't know why. A little bit of ice, and I suddenly am a bit like a gazelle. I can't walk. I'm crawling down the pavement towards the local coffee house.
A sled.
Well, exactly. I do live on a little bit of a hill, so I could just slide all the way down. But again, when you're getting old, it's not a good look, mate.
I don't mind the snow. What I really don't like is when it's cold and then you get that cold breeze just blowing in your face. That's the worst thing. I was out yesterday, went to the FIFA Best Awards, and it was awful in terms of the cold getting in your face, this kind of thing.
Although, and that was just in the auditorium while they gave the awards.
Oh my God. And yes, the FIFA Best Awards. Lionel Messi, still the world's best player. So
Inter Miami, still the best football team in the world.
Yep. MLS, high quality, top league. Anyway, we're going off piste. This is the Promised Land podcast. And we talk about Manchester United. We're going to talk about today, Lisandro Martinez. As I said, we'll talk a little bit about the Tottenham game. A lot of takeaways. Some displeasure among the fan base. We'll dig into it a little bit. So Jim Ratcliffe has talked to the Man United Supporters Trust, must as well. And proof's in the pudding, obviously, or I think as must put it, in the eating of the pudding. but, you know, I think this, what Sir Jim has said, essentially doubles down on everything that we've learned about him so far. And his intentions for Manchester United. There was also a quote from Sir Dave Brailsford, which I don't know if you've seen, Rob, but we'll dig into it later in the show as well. And then at the end of the show, we'll talk about Karim Benzema. Can he save Man United's season? Will he end up at Old Trafford as understudy to Rasmus Højlund, or playing instead of Rasmus Højlund and not receiving passes as Marcus Rashford runs with his head down into the space that he's... I don't want to poke fun at Rashford, but you know, talking about the Højlund goal the other day, lovely finish from the kid, very, very good, but it was a bit of an accident the way the goal came about. Not because they worked it brilliantly, maybe they did, they worked it up the pitch quite well, but I think Rashford got his head down, tried to cut inside, got tackled, and the ball bobbled to Højlund, who thundered it into the top corner. But Rob, what was it like? Just for the people, because I wasn't there, obviously. What was it like for the people who were watching it on telly? Seemed a bit flat to me.
Yeah, look, the atmosphere was good at the start, no doubt about it. And when Hoyland takes that opportunity and puts it in the top corner. You know, stadium exploded. It was fantastic for all of a few minutes. As you said, Rashford was a little bit of a mistake. It wasn't an assist from Marcus. It was, I'm going to run, put my head down and get caught, which is how it worked. And then Rasmus did the rest. But I just think, Scott, there was a kind of feeling in the stadium throughout the whole 90 minutes that we're just seeing this performance over and over and over and over and over again. There's nothing new. It's the same players doing the same things with the same tactics. How long we can talk about injuries affecting tactical choices or what the manager can do with his team, I don't know. But it does feel like, and this is one of the things I said to you off camera, is that with Ineos's ideas that you improve 1% at a time, to me, it feels like Ten Hag's Man United are kind of in decline 1% at a time. And I just had kind of feeling, Scott, sat in my seat that I've had with previous managers that I've backed, that sat there, and I can remember with Moyes, I can remember with Van Gaal, I can remember with Jose, with Misty Eyes, I can remember with Ole, sitting there going at a point, kind of feel like I've seen all of this a lot, and it isn't great. So I thought Tottenham played well. I thought Tottenham could have won the game, really, in the end. I think Man United were all right with getting a draw at the end of it. But let's be honest, Scott, you should be winning these games. It's the only way it should be. You've got to win at home. And if you don't win at home, you're not coming top four.
Well, Rob, they could have won because he brought on Scott McTominay and he missed a header in the 95th minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was the plan.
The plan was
to score it, but, you know.
Yeah. If the plan is that, the plan is get Scotty on for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and Scotty wins you the game, then I'm afraid your plan will fail more times than it succeeds. It will succeed sometimes. And like you said there, like if that ball comes in the box, just right in front of us here on the right-hand side where I see it. And you could see he was unmarked. Like you were like, this is a goal. I think that came out of my mouth. I went goal because I was like, he's just got to nod this down. But I think he kind of mistimed his jump a little bit and obviously didn't even hit the target. If that's all you got, if that's how you're going to win football matches this season, guess what, Scott? You're coming eighth. That's it. And if you do come eighth and you make these choices and that's your tactics off the bench, I don't really think the new billionaire in town is going to watch that from the stands. And he was there as well, you know, not so far away from us, sat with Fergie, sat with Brailsford, sat with Murto. They're not going to come away from those games thinking, oh, yeah, we'll be patient with this because we're not patient. It's very dull, Scott. The tactics are rubbish. The performances are not good enough. And Ten Hag has to find a way. It's just as blatant and as basic as that.
Jose Mourinho's out of a job now. Although, if I'm picking one place, he's going back to Todd Bowley's Chelsea, surely. Sure. Or Newcastle. I don't know. You know. But we've had him before.
Or on holiday.
Who do you think the most successful post-Ferguson manager has been?
Well, the most successful in the whole period of the 10 years, undoubtedly, is Jose Mourinho. So why?
Bring him back.
Because Jose in the first year...
Bring him back. What a...
I used to get like tons of flack on social about, especially at the end, about my opinions about Jose. And the thing was, again, I wanted Jose to replace Van Gaal. I thought after 2 years, Van Gaal was done. Jose was available through that winter. And it was quite obvious United were going to go for him. And it was quite obvious as well that Ed Woodward was like, oh, Galacticos. Mm. Oh, former Real Madrid manager. Let's go there. And I think we all agreed with it at that time, you know. I think
I was definitely pro Mourinho. I was. I love him. I think he's brilliant.
Well, what we
box
like
box office, not in terms of tactical. He's not at the top of the tree in terms of tactical outlay in the modern game. But I love him. I think he's box office.
And that's a problem because I think the thing is that Jose's pressers are more interesting than his football. So that's a bad look for me in the modern day. Like I think you need to do a bit of both. And I think tactically, I think the thing is with Jose was that when he came to United, he made this big speech to all of us about how he was going to play the United way. And I'm going to create this team in the image of Manchester United, not in the image of Jose Mourinho. And I thought, I like that because you get a bit of both then. You're going to get a bit of both. And the first season, you win a European trophy, you win the League Cup, and you play some really good football, like to an extent. And it did feel like an exciting brand of football that had the best elements of Jose's football and allowing these superstars to go and do their jobs like the Ibrahimovic of the world. I think Jose Mourinho, I don't think there was a place for him in the Premier League at the moment, not tactically. You know, like we came to
Chelsea.
You say Chelsea, but I don't think I don't think he takes a young team and improves.
No, but that's the fun of it.
Well, that's the fun of it, but I'm not sure that this new owner at Chelsea has those aspirations. Like, I think if you went back to Jose for a third time, the potential for egg on your face is big.
Sorry, I'm checking on their faces already. We're talking about how bad United season's been. They're below, still, just about, still below Man United.
But do you know what? If you got brain, you stick with Mourinho. With Pochettino. You say to him, we get over this period. It's not good. The football's not very good. But you can take young players, make them progressive and form a team down the line. Now, I watched Chelsea, Scott, and I still feel, even though they've not done as well as United at certain levels in terms of gathering points, I don't think United are any better. I don't. Like, I think United hit the same stumbling blocks every week with senior players. At least with Chelsea, they've got younger players that they're trying to blood and get through. And yeah, they have got senior players as well, but they're a team in transition. They're trying to build something and it will take time, and I've spent £1 billion on it already. So you're not happy if you're a Chelsea fan, but I think you've got the right manager and you can stick with that manager because he's not been there that long.
Believe me, they're having the same conversations that we're having.
I know they are.
Yeah.
But anyway, Chelsea, the team has always sacked the managers anyway. Like, as a club, they've always just gone, oh, we're not happy this week. Let's sack him, get another one. But I don't know this manager. Like, this owner wanted Graham Potter. That was his guy. He gave Graham Potter a chance and then sacked him because of pressure. I think if he could rewind it now, I think he'd probably look back and go, should have just stuck with Potter. It's not improved anything. So I'm not sure he's going to got someone like Pochettino, paid him good money, and then said this is a project and it's long term, and then he's just going to sack him. I don't know about that. It's a bit like Ten Hag last year, Scott. Like, Ten Hag had grace periods to be able to get it right. And now we're 18 months on. I'm not so sure. Yeah. So maybe you've got to stick with Pochettino for another 6 months at least.
Anyway, this is a Man United pod, as I said. Subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. Apple and Spotify are the ones that this podcast is most consumed on. And watch us on YouTube as well for video. Rob's got a new area where he records. There's
studio spots.
I've even put a light behind my camera today to make me look more awake. So there you go. Come over to YouTube.
Scott's getting to lighting.
The Promised Land of Man United podcast is where you can find us. Like the video, leave a comment for us as well, and subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. Leave a 5-star review for us. It has to be 5 stars if you're listening on audio. Please do that as well. And follow us on the socials at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok. I've said I'd be posting there more. Maybe from this week, I'll start posting from there more. @_Rob_B on X and YouTube. And Rob's going to start posting videos soon. And @TPLMUFC on X as well for the account of the show. Right. How do we want to look at the Tottenham game? Because, Rob, the failings have been discussed. Look, Ange has turned up in 6 months and he's getting his team to play possession football and Man United are easy to play through. Everybody else has done that conversation. Do you want to do it? I don't particularly want to do it because that game went exactly how I thought it would go, personally. Exactly how I thought it would go.
Yeah, if you could write a script, that's how it went, wasn't it? Like, it's so predictable. Like, I mean the bad bits, not the good bits.
United tried to loft it forward, and we're talking about style and we're talking about identity. I've said this a lot. That is what Ten Hag is trying to do. It's just the players rush quite a bit. And he said in his post-match, we rushed it. I'm paraphrasing here, but he did acknowledge that they rushed it and they tried to do things too quickly, which is what we saw over and over again. So if you're going in and expecting an equivalent of Ange ball, yeah, I think you might be disappointed. I think this is what Ten Hag is trying to play, transition football. And if that is the long-term plan, then we have a problem. Mm-hmm. But could the potential return of some players help him play better build-up football?
The potential return of players, Scott, means that when they're back, if this does not improve, then you're finished. That's it. Like, we've been using the same excuses. Like, as two people that back Ten Hag and have backed him all the way, we've constantly said, but there's injuries. Like, I even see that on Twitter of people tweeting who are like pro Ten Hag, not Ten Hag out and all of that, saying the same thing. We can't judge him until the players are back. Well, they're going to start coming back now, Scott. You're actually letting your young players go out the door. Obviously, Hannibal Medjbri is now no longer at Manchester United. You know, you're letting players go towards loans, which is fine if that's what you're deciding. But if you're putting all your eggs in the one basket of your senior players, like, did you see a few days ago, Ten Hag said, Scott, he goes, oh, last year, you were all telling me how great my transfers were. This year, you're telling me how rubbish they are. Well, that's not actually what's being said. What people are saying is, your football's not as good this year. You're not winning games in the way that you were winning them for that 25, 30 game spell last season. This year, your players don't look like they know what they're doing in the ways that they did halfway through last season, maybe at the same point. That's not a good look on a manager. Like, we're not saying his transfers are bad, but we are saying his transfers have not helped him win more football matches. So, like you just said about wrapping up the Spurs game, I think you can put it just in a nutshell, and that is United scored two very good goals, and we gave away two absolutely abysmal, horrific goals. Like, the Tottenham goals were horrible, and watching them in the flesh, it does feel 10 times worse than it does on the telly. You stand there and you're like, I think I just was like this. I was just like, it's not Halloween, is it? What date is it? It feels like a horror show again. So, I don't know, mate. I think we've seen a lot of this before, and I think a lot of it now is tactical.
The two goals that United conceded, we've seen those goals over and over and over and over again this season. The first, we already know United can't defend set pieces. Yeah. That's been happening for months. So Richarlison glances a header into the far post, easy as you like. They threaten from set pieces over and over again. United were quite lucky not to concede more. I think the second goal is the one that really irritated me, though. You know, 30 seconds after halftime, hey, lads, go out there. Make sure you don't give anything cheap away. Oh, wait, 30 seconds and you've already conceded. And how do they concede it? Because their press didn't work. They opened up all their midfield space. One pass took out the entire team, essentially. Oliver Skip ran about 40 yards, puts it out to Timo Werner, who cuts it back to Bentancur, who beats a man, Johnny Evans, and then fires it past Onana. Like, we know the deficiencies. That, like I said, I knew exactly what was going to happen in this game. I don't know about you guys, if you're listening and maybe you thought something would be different, but the way that Tottenham play football, the way that Man United play football, that's exactly what we got at the weekend. That's exactly what we got. And United gave away the same goals they've been giving away all season long. So, I mean, in the end, I think 2-2 was... I don't think Tottenham did it. I think Tottenham were the better team. I wouldn't say they went and did enough to win the game because they didn't really create loads of clear-cut chances that they missed. I won't say it was a fair result. Maybe Tottenham were the better team. But, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And like you say, Tottenham maybe were the better team. Well, again, let's look at it like pragmatically. Tottenham have got most of their best players out at the moment. Son's not even here anymore. And they had a guy in the team who is a loan signing, playing his first minutes for the club, yet looked more cohesive and understanding of what the job was on the day than Manchester United showed. So I just think, Scott, like with that second goal, watching it from my spot on a halfway line, you could see United trying to initiate a press that wasn't on and Tottenham identifying that there was loads of space in midfield. Then you saw Cobby having to cover Eriksen because Eriksen had just gone and run towards the penalty box. And then you're done because Cobby's looking after 50 yards of space on his own. And they just went, and they're in, and it's a goal. Sitting there watching it, Scott, it's not nice.
How do you condense that space, though? If you're going to play that way, what do you have to do? Because do you either play a more experienced six, who's a defensive six, or does your line push up higher?
No, do you know what you do, Scott? It's absolutely blatantly obvious what you do. It's after half time, like you just said there. For 10 minutes, you defend. You sit in. You just look after the space. Like, come on. This is not like grand mad tactics of like deep underlying thought. This is the basics of Premier League football in any football match. we said watching United on the day felt like watching a pub team half the time because they're just frantic and running around. You're 2-1 up. The message should have been to the team, sit in, look after the space. You know Tottenham want to run you in transition, so don't let them run. Sit there, look after. Cobby's 18, so number eight, sit with the six, pack it there and look after that space and don't let Tottenham score within 2 minutes. United do it every week. You know when United score, that's when I always feel like we're going to concede because they haven't got a clue.
They always do.
They haven't got a clue how to park the bus just for 10 minutes. Now, that is a tactical issue. That's not just players. Like Eriksen last year, when Eriksen was with Casemiro, they became quite good at doing that in that 4-1-5, where Eriksen would be the eight, but would come and sit with Casemiro, turn into kind of 4-2-3-1 for a little bit. They would look after the space. They would stop getting run. This year, the tactic isn't that. The tactic is playing 4-1-4-1. And the tactic is number six, whoever you are, and it's Cobby at the moment, please go and look after everything. It's mad. That's not great tactics, Scott. So that's why I look at Ten Hag and I am feeling worse towards the manager. Because like you just said, how do you fix that? Well, you fix it by doing just basics. You know, have a little bit of a mid block for 10 minutes. This Man United team doesn't know how to defend. It's got no idea up here how to defend, which is why we're going to do a little bit today about a returning defender who came on the pitch against Tottenham and got the most amazing, you know, welcome back from the Old Trafford crowd. Because there's so much on his shoulders now with the Butcher. Because United need to be better in defence, but it starts in midfield for me, but also at centre-back. It's the connectivity between the back and the middle lines that no team should be able to run through you in that way. It felt like watching an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer team, Scott. But yet Ole was told that he had no tactics. Why is it different with this manager? I don't know.
Well, people are saying Ten Hag's got no tactics. Got no tactics, by the way. People say this a lot. Like, yeah, there's zero tactics. No, he's actually telling them to do things. Just what he's telling them to do, you don't like.
Yeah, it's poor tactical choices, I think. Saying there with Eriksen, like, you know, Eriksen bursting out of the press from the halfway line probably ain't a good idea. Like, let's just put that out there. Maybe not. Like, you're telling him to do it, but it's probably not the greatest idea to say run 40 yards to the centre back who's got the ball. Like, just stay in shape and let Rashford go do that. Let Hoyland go do that. Let Bruno go because Bruno can press. Don't let them all press like mad people and then lose the ball and it just goes through you within 3 seconds. I don't know. Like that to me just feels like...
That was happening from game one. Remember Wolves on a Monday night?
Totally. So what? Why is it still happening then?
Dribbling through United's entire team.
So maybe don't do it anymore. Yeah, like I think the thing is, if it was doing it in game one and here you are multiple games in now and you're not where you want to be in the table and you're not winning games like you want to win and you've had injuries... then don't repeat the same things that hurt you. And United do that. They do the same things every week that really hurt the team. You've got Johnny Evans, who's an old man back there, and you've got Varane, who's lost all his mobility, I think, you know, in terms of the last year, what he maybe once had. So what's in front has to be solid. And what's in front can't just be one number six, who's 18. That's mad,
and also,
Scott.
He's not a defensive six.
No, he's not a real six to me. He's an eight.
No, that's not a real six to me.
He's an eight who's being converted into a six because he's the only one who can kind of do some of that stuff. I don't know, mate. Like,
I'm not criticizing
Cobby. I blame Steve McLaren.
Not criticizing Cobby. I would much prefer him to play in the eight. And I just thought about this. We said on a previous show, Rob, when Casemiro comes back, he's going to replace Cobby because that's just the way that Ten Hag seems to want to do it. If I'm right in saying, the game where Cobby got injured, he played with Casemiro in preseason. Mm-hmm. It was Casemiro, Cobby, and Bruno Fernandes, I want to say. So potentially, maybe they can play together. We'll see. Casemiro returned to the squad on Sunday, but did not get a minute. He should be back properly. United's next game is in about 10 days' time. This Newport versus Eastleigh in the FA Cup third round replay, which is being played this evening as we record Tuesday evening. So we'll find out who United are playing by Wednesday or Tuesday night. Anyway, Casemiro's back, didn't get on the pitch. Lisandro Martinez is back and did get on the pitch to a hero's reception. Like, I've said this numerous times, Rob. I think Martinez's absence is the most important one for United's style, for their intensity, for their quality on the ball in possession, this kind of thing, for setting the tone, setting the tempo. I think he is one of United's most important players. That's just my personal opinion. And Ten Hag has talked often about how he hasn't been able to name the same back four. And he always seems to say this, naming the same back four. I think you'd probably go, depending on who's in favour, I'd say maybe Dalot at the moment, Varane or Maguire, Martinez and Shaw. You know, maybe it'll be Wan-Bissaka and Maguire, maybe it'll be Varane or whoever he chooses. I think he'll have his first choice pairing in his mind on that right side. But I think unquestionably the first choice pairing on the other side is Martinez and Shaw. Shaw pulled out through, I think, illness at the weekend, but he should be back as well. So you should have Martinez and Shaw back from the next time United play a game. Now, he got a hero's reception. Did you see anything in Martinez on the day which gave you a little bit of hope, Rob? Because I'm going to frame this as, can Lisandro Martinez save Man United's season? Because it needs saving.
Yes, is the answer to the question, which was, did we see anything? I think we saw, just in kind of 10 minutes at the end of the game, a little maybe what I'd call Polaroid picture of what Manchester United would want to be with a progressive centre-back doing progressive centre-back things. What you saw with Martinez is that when he got the ball, Scott, he was driving the space. So there's a channel in front of him. He's like, I'm going into this channel with the ball. And I think the whole thing with Varane and with Johnny Evans is that they can't do that. So therefore, you have to have players that can. And last year, that was one of the big successful parts of Man United's game, was when they got better in the season, it was because Martinez found his feet in doing that. So if you're Erik ten Hag and you're talking about these things a lot, about my selections and having to change it every week, if you've got one player back there now who plays every week that can progress the ball and is arguably your best ball progressor with Luke Shaw, your best two players at moving the ball forward, Kobbie Mainoo is now getting into that conversation as well. Ball progression is only passing it 5 yards forward or running it 5 yards forward. Is that you look at Martinez in that 10-minute spell, Scott, and he did it. He did it. And that was the one thing coming out. That was what we were chatting about. We're going, well, at least you've got Martinez back now to do that function, because that is so important to Man United. Now, does it heal everything and make everything better? Does it make you defend better from set pieces where the ball's curled into the box and you're someone 3 yards out from the goal who can get his head on it? I'm not so sure, because we know that Martinez is not a tall lad. He's not a big lad. And you're still being physically beaten by other teams. But I do think that if you want to play out from the back, now Onana, I think, will look up and say, oh, hang on. There's a wall player in front of me. This is nice. I can play it to this guy now. I've got another option, because I think Onana's come to Man United and just hasn't got anyone to pass the ball to. They're all so filthily bad, Scott, at passing the football.
That happened a few times the other day where Onana got the ball, looked like he wanted to run it out quickly.
Yeah.
And then he didn't or couldn't, much to the frustration of the home support.
I think we see it every week. I think that is something we've seen every week, is that last year, Onana at Inter Milan would get the ball and he would move it quickly, either by his feet or with his hands. And they would go quickly. They wouldn't then burst on. They would sometimes get the ball in midfield, calm it down and reset. And that was a way to getting out from the back without getting caught in a trap. This year at Man United, he hasn't got that option. And quite often, Scott, he does that little clip ball to the wing, which like does my head in. I watch it all the time and like a little slow clip ball towards Garnacho. And you know Garnacho's going to get out-muscled because he's a kid and he's like, you know, he's not a big lad either, is he? Really, not at the moment. So at least now, if you've got someone in front of you who is a ball player, that is a big step forward. And I do also think that if you bring Maguire back and Maguire gets his form that he had before, and you've got Maguire right, Martinez left, I think that's something to build off. I think if those two are fit, I don't think Varane gets a look in. I've not been impressed with what I see with Varane. I think Varane is on the decline, and I totally understand why Ten Hag wasn't picking him for that period. But you've been stuck because of injuries. And obviously, Johnny Evans is only playing because like you haven't really got anyone else. I don't think Johnny Evans would have thought he had this many minutes.
Can you imagine?
Signed that contract.
Like I remember saying in the summer, Johnny Evans is coming in just as cover.
Yeah.
He'll barely get a game. And yet they've had injuries, had to play every bloody week.
Automatic starter now.
Every single week. I agree with you. I think for me, when Maguire's back, I'm not sure of the status of his injury. But when Maguire's back, I think it'll be him and Martinez, personally.
Yeah, I think Martinez has actually built up enough kind of trust with maybe Ten Hag in this first half of the season when things were really bad, like at the start where you were losing games, you were like, one win, one loss, one win, one loss. I think the only player who came out the back of that period with any kind of credit was Maguire. And this is, again, a player that we said we should sell. Like, this is not a player that we have backed. We said you should get rid of Maguire. One player of the month in the Premier League, which is astonishing. But he also added leadership at a time when Manchester United looked bereft of leadership. So he walked straight back in the team for me, whether fans like that or not. And obviously, I think Martinez starts, and it will be Varane that's going to sit, because I don't think Varane has a long-term future at Manchester United. I think the only way he stays is if maybe a new manager comes in and loves him and changes some of the stylistic properties of the tactics. But that's a long, long shot.
I think he leaves for free.
And I think the whole fact is that that Ineos and Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Dave Brailsford are looking to get these big earners off the wage bill that are not guaranteed starters every week. You know, like Varane goes and sits on the bench for $300,000 a week, Scott, and he's the fifth highest paid player in the Premier League. It's not good look, is it? You know, it's not good look. You need to get them out your football club quite quickly.
I mean, you can see just with the charges on Everton and Nottingham Forest, they haven't done things properly at all, but yeah. You can just see how when United say that they're teetering on the brink of FFP or...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Profit and sustainability, I believe, is what it is now. If you're teetering on the brink of it, you can pretty soon face a charge and potential points deductions. Everton could have a potential second points deduction of the same in the same season due to not irregularities, just what's the word I'm looking for here? Bad management of finances.
Bad accounting.
In multiple seasons. And we could see it with Everton when they were signing Allen and these kinds of players, and then he wasn't getting any game time, and there's countless examples. Maybe that provides opportunities for United to pick off Jarrod Branthwaite, has been linked over the last few days. That's another conversation for another day. But, you know, United have to be careful. They have to be careful. But to be honest, and maybe we'll talk a little bit of transfers towards the end of the show. I think United mm-hmm. pretty much end up with what they've got, minus a few players who leave before the end of the month. It's important to remember United have had a lot of injuries. So what you've been looking at and watching has been probably without 9 or 10 players for every match day for a good few months now.
Yeah.
So hate to be the cliche, but hey, you got a few new signings joining you. No, that doesn't work for me. Doesn't wash for me. But you know, like if United can keep everybody fit, I think they have a good enough squad on paper. No, not a good enough squad. Enough players on paper to potentially climb up the league table. But the, you know, with 20-21 games in, it's not looking good. A lot of teams are playing a lot better. United are way off top four, top five. You know, something's got to turn around quick. And if Lisandro Martinez can help United turn their fortunes around, then it'll be much needed for both United and Erik ten Hag himself.
Yeah, look, every club, I think every year, you're always hoping that you don't have that one big injury crisis that really rips the heart out of your team. And we absolutely know that Man United have had that. But I'm going to keep saying it, and it is but, however, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You look at what you got, like you just said there, on paper, you have a viable squad that is still better than most of the league, in being honest. And it might not be an elite top four squad, but a team that should be playing better football. And the performance value, Scott, I think has slowly but surely degraded. And you can see it in their work. You know, like there is a real malaise about a lot of what they're doing. Like I just described them as a pub team earlier on. I say that not as a quip, but it does look like that. They look like kids running around sometimes, not actually playing positional football. It's supposed to be the elite level of football, Scott. They're all on 200 grand a week. You know, I think we should have higher expectations for it. Do you get what I mean? So you can look at the league table and we can say the league table doesn't lie, but you're slowly falling out of that picture. And do you remember we only said about 3 weeks ago, we were like, whoa, you're only 3 points behind Man City. It's all right, isn't it? Now Man City have won a few games. Man City look like a team that want to contend for the title. How many points are we behind Man City now? Well, you know, a motorway away, you know, that they've gone on and we've just sat where we are. And United are going to struggle with this, isn't it? I think Newcastle, you know, Newcastle have had injuries and I think they lost 8 games, is it, out of 9? You know, so it can happen where you lose them. But yet you watch Newcastle and you don't actually feel that the performance value has dropped massively. Like you don't think, oh, look, they just look like they can't do it. Tottenham, same, injuries. You kind of go, they're still playing their style of football. You don't see that at United, and that is a worrying trend. Is because I think Ten Hag wants something different.
Lost their last 4 games. Just looking at this now, they got Aston Villa away next.
Newcastle, Newcastle. I said Newcastle lost 8 of 9 in all competitions. So, like, and that is because they've had a horrific injury crisis. And this is why people are now talking about Eddie Howe. Should Eddie Howe be manager next year at Newcastle? Well, you know, he has had these injuries. I've watched a lot of Newcastle in recent weeks. They're still playing decent football. Like you watch them, they're still running. They're still trying to hit their marks. I don't feel that about Man United. Like, just a cap off on the Spurs game, Scott. You know, I think Wan-Bissaka was good on the day. I thought he did well. I thought Delo did well on the day. I thought Højlund did well to get his goal. I thought Rashford had good moments. But then around that, I thought Bruno worked hard in the midfield overall, but maybe didn't give us the quality we needed. And I thought Cobby was fine. But after that, it's all just fragmented. It's just like, there's nothing you kind of come away with going, oh, actually, that was a big takeaway, a big positive. Martinez coming back was the biggest positive. And again, I kind of think there's a lot on his shoulders now. Like he had that injury last year, didn't he? He came back and got injured again. And I just hope that pressure doesn't obviously put him on the sidelines once again.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts on Apple and Spotify and the likes, and subscribe to the channel on YouTube as well, the Promise and a Man United podcast. Like the video, leave a comment for us as well. We see plenty of comments. Some people quite down on the 25% thing. I did see a comment from I'm not going to dig it up now, but it was overly negative. We're going to try and shine a light on some positivity, given things aren't going too well on the pitch, but in the longer term, could things be turning around? So Jim Ratcliffe has been in Manchester since the turn of the year, or around. He's been meeting people at Old Trafford, meeting people at Carrington, meeting the players, meeting the manager, meeting John Murta, talking things through, this kind of thing. And early this week, on Monday, he met with the MUST board, the Man United Supporters Trust board, to talk about what his plans are for Manchester United. He's accompanied by Sir Dave Brailsford, Jean-Claude Blanc. I think Sir Alex Ferguson was there as well. Mm-hmm. And it was, per what MUST have said in this statement, an hour's discussion about where the club's at and what needs to happen to restore United back to the top. So I think I'll just run through. You might have missed this because it's not exactly like headline-grabbing news. Man United are going to sign Karim Benzema for 500 grand a week, this kind of thing. But it's more, this is how you should run things. You should go and face people and tell them what you want to do.
This stuff matters.
Be honest about it. This stuff actually quite matters because the Glazers, how many games have they attended at Old Trafford since they took over? Exactly. He's already been to one. United played, two Premier League games this month?
Yeah.
That's it.
And Ineos have been at all the games. They've had representation at every game.
So, MUST have said, obviously, that this has not been ratified yet, so we can't actually give us the full picture, tell us everything, because we are still waiting on things to be ratified. He's limited as to what he can say, but as MUST have said here, we felt he was as open as he could be within the rules, given the transaction hasn't actually completed and been ratified yet. Yeah. He also met the press at Old Trafford before the game against Tottenham in the press room at Old Trafford on Sunday. But in this meeting with MUST, I'm going to read an extract of their statement here. His main message was that everything at United needs to be ruthlessly focused on creating winning teams on the field. Yeah. Something we are sure all fans will agree on. He has also expressed the view that he views our club as a community asset and stressed that his purpose in taking a share in United is not to make money. We were able to set out to Sir Jim what we think the key priorities are, a clear plan to get back to the top, putting in place a football structure with the right people in the right roles, an investment plan in both the teams and the stadium, and building a genuine and strong partnership with fans that support success. Now, as they went on to say, the proof of the pudding will be in the eating, which I quite enjoyed. But it's completely right. And obviously, Sir Jim has... Yeah, he tried to buy Chelsea. Yeah, he did. But he's local to the team. Rob and I made absolutely no secret ever of which side we went on, in the sense of who's going to get the share of the club, who's going to take over, who's going to have sporting control, this kind of thing. I was always more confident. I always wanted somebody who would come in and be smart rather than somebody who would come in and spend loads of money. Because I've seen United spend loads of money. If you spend it erroneously, it doesn't make a difference. If anything, you go backwards, which is where we are now.
Yeah.
And just before I bring you in, Rob, as well, there was after the game on Sunday, because obviously you were at the stadium and you might not have seen this, but Sky ran a extract of Sir Dave Brailsford speaking with Nasser Hussain, who used to play cricket for England, talking as part of a series. But he was asked about his career and how he runs things in his various different roles. A quote that stood out to me, something he said, a star team will always beat a team of stars. And I thought, wow.
Yes. I saw that.
Just let that sink in a second. A star team will always beat a team of stars. Now, think of that in the current context. Think of how Ed Woodward saw Manchester United and their commercial pulling power. Think about the reasons why they signed Paul Pogba. Think about the reasons why they signed Angel Di Maria. Think about the reasons why they've broken world records at times. They've, you know, signed players that they didn't really need. They signed players because they were popular. A star team will always beat a team of stars. And then look at Liverpool, right? Man City are a different kettle of fish. They've got endless backing, this kind of thing. Think of Liverpool. It's some harsh truths. I know Liverpool have only won one Premier League title, but I'm sure most United fans would trade Liverpool's position for United's position currently. Liverpool have built a team and made their own stars. They've been, yeah, they spent money, big money at times, but you think about, I think the watershed moment for me really was, oh, look, we've got Coutinho. Let's sell him to a club who don't have a clue what the hell they're doing for plus 100 million quid and then buy two players that can really move the needle for us. One from Southampton and one as Roma's second choice goalkeeper. Now Alisson is, I know, I think Ederson won the best goalkeeper at the FIFA Awards last night. Alisson's the best keeper in the world for me. And this is not a Liverpool podcast, but what I'm saying is, how refreshing is it, Rob, to hear what A, what Sir Dave Brailsford has said, and B, what Sir Jim has said? And how do you think this can end up taking United forward? How can we leave this chapter behind? Do you have faith that we will leave this chapter behind and move on to something better?
Do you know what? It's not plagiarism if the best in class are doing it one way and winning, and you want to win as well. So Man United absolutely need to look at all of those businesses and football clubs and understand why they win. And that one key statement from Brailsford about stars and what you've just said there, Scott, in your monologue about it, is about that when you look at a team, and you did say Man City, so I'm actually going to use them as the example. When you look at Man City, Foden, Bernardo Silva, Doku, you look at Ruben Dias, none of them are stars. They're not superstar footballers.
Haaland was the only one. You're right. Haaland's the only star, really.
Haaland's come in the last 12 months. So Haaland was like, we need a striker. Let's go get the best. So that's okay. But the build, and you said with Liverpool, all the successful teams throughout history, like you can look at the Galactico projects as something different. Ed Woodward was absolutely obsessed about creating Real Madrid in Manchester. And we have been on that cycle for 10 years. And guess what? It hasn't worked. Get away from that cycle. It hurts you. So I think when you look at all these teams that have done well, Arsenal, like the kids, like Saka, Martinelli, Jesus, you look through the team, even Declan Rice to an extent. Declan Rice is a like well-renowned England footballer. Yes, I understand that. Big price, but not really a superstar. Not really. It's been brought in to do a job. Man United haven't done it for a long time, Scott. They haven't brought players in to do the job, except the job of selling shirts. And yes, United are still very good at that. But I think you've got to get... there's no doubt for me, Ineos know you've got to get away from that. They know that that is a flawed Glazer system that's taken Man United down this horrible dark alleyway where we're just prone to being the loser every week. You know, like you see this, and it's the same issue. So, again... You know, we talked about tactics earlier on with Ten Hag, like just sit some midfielders in there, Eric, for 10 minutes. I almost think you can apply that to bigger strategy as well. It's like, don't do the stuff that hurts you anymore. Stop that. And maybe scout properly. Maybe go and buy in the Julian Alvarez markets, et cetera, et cetera. They do exist. Go get those players and do it now. Like, get on with it and don't worry about losing the next week or whether you're playing a kid next week or whatever. Don't worry about whether you're selling a shirt next week. Worry about building a football team.
Yeah. Just wanted to nail that point home, really, just because, you know, I'm aware of the division that Qatar versus Ineos provided. I'm aware that that kind of still exists. And people look at, he's bought 25% and can't distinguish between. And like, I'm happy to explain this, but it's not the case. Like, just because he owns 25% of the shares, and it could go up to what, 29% once everything goes through and the investment comes through. Yes, that's 25% of the shares, but the sporting control is 100. So,
and that's what matters.
People are making the decisions on which players are hired, which sporting director United have, which players are sold, which players are offloaded. All of this stuff is going to be in the hands of Ineos. And you can look at Sir Dave Brailsford and say, he's got no experience in football. He's only been at Nice, really. But that's not the point. Like, he's come in as a successful person in sports, but he's going to look at appointing people who are experienced in football, best in class in football, to make football decisions. So when we talk about Dave Brailsford, it's not going to be him making all of the, oh, look, I like that player over there let's go and sign him for 25 million. That's going to be somebody else's job, but Dave Brailsford's going to bring that person in. So for me, like, there's a lot of reasons to be downtrodden. What we're seeing on the pitch at the moment isn't good enough. It simply isn't. I'm hoping that'll change at some point. But for the first time, I have a little bit more hope that things will change. And I've said numerous times on this pod that what's the point sacking the manager? You've got to change everything upstairs first. This next 6 months, 5 months, is time for the manager to prove that he's going to be a part, or he deserves to be a part, of what's going to happen moving forward. We've got to see more from him, just like we have to see more from Marcus Rashford, just like we have to see more from Casemiro, just like we have to see more from Lisandro Martinez, just like we have to see more from Mason Mount. All of these players, everybody needs to start hitting a certain standard. And if you're not hitting a certain standard, we can move on without you. And that's the way that a successful club should be run.
It's the only way a club should be run, being completely honest. That is how you run your business in football. And, you know, we've talked about Ralf Rangnick's ideas many, many times on this podcast. And Ralf's overall idea was that you need to get rid of 10 and buy 10 new players. That was his mantra, like the starting block. Like, you need to be able to reinvest in your squad, but you need to do it at a kind of a level where it's not 10 superstars, it's 10 players that can win you a football match every week. And I think that's exactly where we are now with Ineos, is that it just said there about Dave Brailsford. It's so faux, Scott, where people have said that to me as well, like, oh, you know, his experience levels. Anyone who knows anything about elite sport knows how those things all cross over. And they do. They all cross over in terms of how you make high performance repeat across all sports. Yes, you go get the best in class in football, don't you? You go get a sporting director and a football director. You do all those things. Ineos are in the process of doing that. But the whole thing about Qatar, going back to that, is that the Qatar were no more prepared to go and change Manchester United than anyone else. And I think Qatar might have just repeated the same Glazer mistakes, which is you just go buy big. Go get the big name who is shiny and excites everyone. We get excited for 5 minutes. We probably should end the show on a potential signing for Manchester United, which we can debate. But you go by big names only if they're going to go and win you games, Scott. That's the way you do it. And I think with Man United, there's been so many signings that just do not foister that. Do not foister good habits. Do not foister repetitive victories. Do not get you to where you want to be. It's the same cycle of bad decisions. And now you've got someone who's got the opportunity to do that. Forget the 25%. He's going to be running it all. So he's going to put his neck on the block. And as you said, he was at the stadium the other day. It was refreshing to see an owner who's got an interest at Manchester United to actually come and watch our football team.
Not saying he even enjoyed it, but, you know.
It's good. He saw it. I thought that. I thought, it's good you're watching this with your eyes. You're not in Monaco watching this on a little TV somewhere. I'm sure he's got a big TV. But, you know, it's a guy in the stadium, and I'm sure
he'd have sensed the displeasure in the stadium as well. He'd have sensed the...
Absolutely.
Not panic. What's the word I'm looking for here? Kind of...
We've used the word malaise before, and it's a bit...
Yeah,
like
malaise.
It's hazy. Like, everyone is there going, we spend a lot of money coming to see United. The fans have come from across the world. In front of me in the stadium, there were guys that had come from America. They come once a year, and that's what they come to watch, and they spend hundreds and thousands of pounds a year, and you need that revenue to be able to go buy players down the line to make your team better. And I'm sure he sat there thinking, this is a business that doesn't work at the moment because the football team is absolutely trash, and you've got players come back in from injuries. Does that make you better? This is a big call for now, Ten Hag. If Ten Hag can make things better, Scott, in the next 6 to 8 weeks with players coming back, we might be having a slightly different conversation. We might be saying, we've got over a hump. I don't feel it. I'm sat in the stadium and I don't feel it at Old Trafford. I don't feel that this team will suddenly progress just because it's got one or two players back.
Right. Let's end the show. In light of everything that we've just said, should Man United sign Karim Benzema?
I laughed when I saw that on the agenda for today. Of course,
it's going round, Rob. I think we have to talk about it, to be honest.
It's going around. And it's valid. It's valid because this is exactly the kind of signing that Ed Woodward would have got out of bed for. You know, he'd have been like, Karim Benzema.
I'm not even saying this is the kind of signing Man United make.
Yeah.
They sign this player. over and over again. Maybe a little bit lower profile. But, hey, he used to play for Real Madrid.
He's won the Ballon d'Or. He's won a few European Cups, and he's won everything, isn't he? He's won absolutely
He's got a little bit of off-field baggage.
Just a little bit. Kind of perfect for Man United, isn't it? Somebody who's got off-field baggage, like, yeah, we want to deal with all that again, don't we? Like, no thanks. Yeah, it's going around, and I think the fact is that I'm looking maybe for a loan. It's quite interesting, isn't it, Scott? These players that went to Saudi for the money, there's now quite a lot of discourse. A lot of players going, actually, I've done this for a few months, don't want to do it anymore. So we'll see where that goes. Karim Benzema, for me, I'm just going to be black and white about it, Scott. The answer is no. No, I don't want Karim Benzema. I'm not interested in 6 months of Karim Benzema. It would be interesting to watch. It'd be quite fun. And I'm sure when he comes out at Old Trafford, we'd all cheer. And I'm sure he'd score a good few goals. But he is not what the football club needs. He would come on a massive wage and it would be the same issue. We'd be like, well, Karim's jogging this week. What's the problem? It's the same thing when you bought Ronaldo. You bought Ronaldo with all of the issues and you knew what was coming somewhere quickly down the line, and it came quicker than people wanted it to. And I think it's the same with Benzema. 6 months loan. Yeah, he'd give you more up top than maybe Hoyland, but I'd rather see Hoyland start every game. I don't want Hoyland suddenly then go and sit on the bench for 6 months while he like feeds to shirt seller. Karim Benzema, fantastic footballer, someone who's absolutely loved by Sir Alex Ferguson, who's now very much back in the fold in terms of decision making and will be advising Ineos. Do I think that they're going to pay his wage to come to the Premier League for 6 months? If they did, Scott, they'd be mad. It's a mad signing because I don't think it gets you in the top four. I really don't, because we can't supply Benzema. We haven't got creative players that get the ball on the end of a striker's foot. You know, you could say Bruno does that to an extent, but United's problem is through creativity and through systems. I don't know. What do you think, Scott? You tell us.
Part of me wants to say one more for old time's sake. but no, I don't think United are going to... I don't think United should, or even that United will. Maybe we do sign a player on loan, but honestly, in the striker's position, I think it's dependent on Anthony Martial. And I don't think Martial's going anywhere this month. And maybe they could take a brave decision to cancel his contract. I don't know. And then get somebody in. But why would you do that, really? Just let it run for another 6 months. Make do with what you've got. United should, Rob, there's no question. United should be getting more goals out of what they've got anyway. You know, I don't think that magically dropping Karim Benzema in is going to fix everything. And he's going to go and get 20 goals in 17 games or whatever it is that's left. It's not the case. Like I say, you imagine all the off-field issues that Benzema, I hadn't even thought of this before coming in, but the off-field issues Benzema's had in the past, can you imagine that being dredged up in the UK media for 6 months? They would absolutely dine out on it. And, we're already talking about it because it's been speculated on. There's nothing tangible to this. We just thought it might be a fun conversation to have, to be honest. One more for old time's sake, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm in a position where I think I'm hoping that by the summer we can actually see something different, a different plan. Because the ratification of this deal with Sir Jim isn't going to go through until mid-February, probably.
Mm.
This window's going to come too early. So maybe we will see one final loan signing of the ilk of the past few years. A Cavani kind of thing. I know he was brought in on a permanent deal, but you know, United have done this before, haven't they? But they have to get through the rest of the season. I'm happy, wherever United end up this season, it is what it is to me. It doesn't stop you planning and making your plan. If you get in the Champions League, sure thing, it'll give you a little bit more money in your pocket. If you don't finish in the Champions League positions, it'll put a little bit more pressure on you to do the clear out a bit quicker to raise some money. I don't think it's a bad thing, personally. But, you know, we are where we are. And it's on Ten Hag now, in the next 6 months, to get the most out of the players that he's got. Because United have a lot of talent and a lot of quality. They need to be playing better than they are. And it's on the coach, it's on the players for the rest of the season to go and make a better fist of it than they previously have. Because if they can't do it, fingers crossed, there's no mercy. with decisions that are made moving forward for the betterment of the football club.
Well, what did Musk say, didn't they? They used the word ruthless. He's coming here to ruthlessly change things, talking to Jim Ratcliffe. And, you know, ruthless changes are not bringing in Karen Benzema, is it? That's not a ruthless change. That is trying to stats pad and trying to get some goals from somewhere and sell some more shirts and sell some more merchandise, which, of course, it would do. No, I'm not down with it, Scott. I only really want to see now when I go to Old Trafford is that there is some plan on the football pitch with the players that we've got. And if you bring in a loan signing, one or two, or maybe if there's a signing out there that you think is a permanent signing that could really help you, but it's a long-term signing and you can make that with the FFP obviously hanging over you, then yes, go and do that. But sign young, sign hungry, sign progressive. Let's get away from this model of veterans. Like, veterans can help you, but they're kind of cherries on the cakes. Ericsson, when he came from Brentford, I like that signing because he was going to help you immediately. And, you know, he might have played some number 10 for you. Funnily enough, under this manager, he's never played number 10. So it's those kind of things now I want from Erik ten Hag. The judgment is on Erik now, Scott. Like, the judgment is on this manager and his tactics. This is what we're going to be judging in the weeks ahead. We're not even going to be judging the players, I don't think, so much, because we know they're dysfunctional. It's up to the manager now to find more function out of them, and it has to come quickly. I don't think he's got long. You've got an FA Cup tie coming up. You lose an FA Cup tie to a minnow, I don't think you've got much time. You've run out, you know. It's just like the clock is all, it's like ticking away there, and you're in trouble. So this transfer market, I think, as well, is a little bit, you know, it's kind of come almost a little bit too quick in a way for the manager. Like, he's being judged in a period where I think he would be saying to the new owners, he'd be saying to Jim Ratcliffe, yeah, I want new players. But I think Jim Ratcliffe would be saying, not quite sure I'm giving you new players, mate, when your tactics are like this. You know, you're not showing that you're only one or two players away from being a better football team. So there's going to be a lot of this, Scott, in the weeks ahead. Like, again, guys that watch our show, please comment and tell us what you think about Erik ten Hag, and tell us that we'll feed off your comments and work from them. Because there's a lot of people, I think, that are now starting to feel that even though they back Erik ten Hag, what they're watching is very hard to justify.
As Rob says, get in touch with us. You can get in touch with us as well on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, TikTok, @_Rob_B on X and YouTube, and @TPLMUFC on X as well for the show. And we'll wrap it there, I think, Rob. Just shy of an hour. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and watch us on YouTube as well, the Promised Land of Man United podcast. Like the video, subscribe, leave a comment. Hit the notification bell and get in touch with us, as I've just said there. We'll be back later this week. No game for United this weekend, so whatever the hell will we talk about on Friday?
There'll be loads. There always is.
Yes, indeed. It is Manchester United. And any final thoughts?
No final thoughts. Just to let you know a little bit more, you said at the top of the show, I'm going to be doing some more live shows now on my YouTube channel. So if you follow me there @_Rob_B, and you'll see kind of what I'm going to be doing the next week or two. Just going to be more live comment stuff, really, where I kind of go live for 20 or 30 minutes and speak to you guys. So I'll need you lot to come and follow and jump in and give plenty of comments and tell us what you want to talk about. And I'll be there nattering away with all of you.
Yeah, and since we're doing that, I'll be doing more video on 90min_football on YouTube.
Scott
as
talk.
Well. Although Scott it's talk. not just me. It's not just Man United in that sphere. It's There's multiple fans of multiple different teams, multiple people talking about multiple different subjects, not only Manchester United. But you can follow us, get in touch with us. Like we say, thanks for listening to the Promised Land podcast, and we'll see you soon. Until next time, everyone, thanks for listening, and see you soon.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.